All right, podcast world, I am back. I'm not even going to do a fancy intro or anything right now. I just pressed record and started going. It feels good to be back on the microphone. What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends and foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all you beautiful ganja growers out there. It's good to be back on the microphone. It is Rasta Jeff. This is, of course, episode 928 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You might be wondering where I've been, or maybe you didn't. I have been away. I've been in Las Vegas for way too long. I actually traveled to and from Las Vegas. We'll talk about it. What did I do? I went and saw Phish. If you pay attention at all, my favorite band is Phish. Phish did 9 shows at the Sphere, broken up over 3 weekends. They did Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 weekends in a row, which meant that I flew out Wednesday and came back Sunday, 3 weeks in a row. That's right, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday was my travel schedule. Every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I got to see Phish. I saw 9 shows over 3 weekends. It was amazing. I took 6 flights. Phish played 164 songs, I believe, over the 3 shows. No repeat songs. It was amazing. Shout out to all the new friends I made at the Phish concert. Shout out to the friends that joined me and met up with me in Vegas at the Phish concerts. Big shout out to my buddy Baker for being a wild Vegas travel buddy and having fun with me. That was a good time. But anyway, that's where I've been, boys and girls. I have been at the Phish concerts in Las Vegas. You could tell my voice is a little roasted. This time I did not get sick at all. Most of the time when I travel, I do come back with at least a sinus thing or a chest thing. This time I've lost my voice just a wee bit. It's not a sickness. It's from cheering and singing with the band so much. No sickness at all, surprisingly, this time. I feel good. Everything went very well. But I am back. I'm rambling because I just started by pressing record. Didn't have a lot of notes to start with. But I'm back. I got to see Phish. It was very exciting. Thank you for being patient with me while I was gone. Thanks to everybody that checked on me and said, hey, dude, why is there no podcast episode? I am safe. I am okay. I had the time of my life. Saw some of the greatest music ever. Most of you guys really aren't into Phish. You don't care too much. But I saw Phish in the Sphere 9 times. That's some of the most amazing stuff you will ever see. The Sphere, if you aren't aware, is a venue in Las Vegas. It's a concert venue. It's a big bubble. It's a big sphere, and it's a 270-degree screen. They put videos on the screen that are very, some of them are very psychedelic and very crazy. Some of them are very nature-y. Some of them are very city-like. Some of them are very MC Escher-esque. A lot of times they use the light guy's lights and just expand on that on the screen, but it's a giant screen. It's a lot of the stuff becomes kind of 3D-esque, and then also the sound inside the sphere is perfect. It is phenomenal. The band was having fun. The audience was having fun. It was great. Anyway, we'll quit talking about Phish at the Sphere. That's enough. I saw Phish. It was a good time. Where do we go from there? I do have a couple of notes we can get into now to put some structure to this podcast. I've been doing a 420 sale. That's right. I did a 410 sale, the pre-420 sale, because I was out of town when 420 happened. So I've been running a sale since April 10th. It is now the beginning of May. It is now time to wrap up that sale. So if you have not gone to the website, iRedirect, and grabbed your stuff, now is the time to go there while the sale is still happening, because Monday after this podcast comes up, I will put the pricing back up to regular pricing. So if you want to take advantage of that sale price, now is your chance. Go get those sale prices at iRedirect. There's a lot of great stuff available. By the time this episode comes out, I probably will have restocked a few things. Some of the orders that were processed on the website did not go through. People elected to pay with cash, or they had a declined credit card payment. There were some products that I was able to cycle back into the inventory. So by the time this episode comes out, some of that stuff may be cycled back in. You may be able to get some of the stuff that you missed. Take a look. Also, there were some website glitches. I'm sure you guys remember that on 410, the website took a shit. I do apologize for that. We've upgraded, we've updated. That shouldn't happen again. I know it's far too late for that. But there were some glitches which created some back orders that I was not aware of until the shipping team was packaging shit and said, hey, bro, we're out of these packs. Do you have more? And I said, I got more of them, but I got to ship them to you. And I was in Las Vegas when that discovery was made. So I apologize if some of your orders were delayed. There were a couple of glitches on the website that created back orders. I had to travel back from Vegas and package those up for you. It wasn't a big deal. I always have some extra beans set aside for things just like this. If you got a back order, you got seeds out of my personal stash. So you got some of the best looking seeds there were. But some of the back orders were created. Those were filled and sent out. So everything is caught up. But that 410 sale, it is going to wrap up is what I think my point was. Oh, and if your order got delayed, all those have been taken care of. All the back orders have been are being shipped and being taken care of. I'm aware of all that. I do apologize for that. But very soon, all of that, by the time this episode comes out, those will all be cleared up. Also, a thing to talk about, the merchandise. I was able to travel from Vegas back to Colorado and acquire the merchandise, get it separated, get it to the shipping team, and they are getting those merch orders out now. If you placed an order for Irie merchandise, the t-shirts, the hoodies, if you placed an order for that and you have not gotten your order by the time this episode comes out, please do send me an email. I will check on it. I will give it a nudge. We will see what's going on for you. I want to be very sure to get all of those orders in your hands because I made a promise. I made a commitment. I want to fulfill that commitment and that promise. So make sure to check on the website, get your orders in. And if you've already made an order for merchandise, please let me know if you've received that, or even better, if you have not received that merchandise. And if you had a back order that I let you know about, those two have been shipped. All right, we've covered a lot of business here. Where do we go from there? I talked about that merch, that Irie Genetics merch. Let's now talk about the DGC Cup. That's right, the Dude Grows Cup is coming back to Longmont, Colorado. That is happening June 6th and 7th. I will be there June 6th and 7th. Make sure you check dgccup.com for all of the links, the details, and all of the information that you do need. The Dude Grows Cup is a big party. It is a community event. There, of course, is a competition to find out who brings the best flowers. I've got to be careful with what I say here on YouTube, but we will see who brings the best flowers to the DGC Cup. Also, I will be there vending. I do bring a large booth to the DGC Cup. I will have a lot of great offerings, a lot of regular and feminized things available. So join us at the DGC Cup. Also, if you wear Irie Genetics merch to the DGC Cup, like a t-shirt, a hoodie, a hat, something like that to the DGC Cup, come to my booth and say hello. If you're rocking Irie merch, I will give you a prize. So make sure you stop by the booth, grab your prize, say hello, rock that Irie Genetics merchandise with pride. Also, I did order a few extra pieces of merchandise. Once I'm sure that everybody's got their orders fulfilled and everything has landed safely, I will put the backup merch on the website and make some of that available for you as well. So you can get that that merchandise that was pre-order, but I was smart enough to order a couple of extra pieces just for backups. All right, I think we've covered all of the business here. We've talked about the sale. We've talked about the back orders, the merch, the DGC Cup. I'll see you guys at the DGC Cup. Make sure you join us there. I'll be there. Mike will be with me. The Dude will be there. Scotty Real will be there. Of course, Grambo Grows will be there. Most of the time, Jaron shows up. I'm not sure if he'll be in the... He might be in Germany at that point. Usually, Jaron shows up to the event. A lot of great members of the community come out to the DGC Cup. The only person we are missing is you. It's going to be a great time. I know a lot of the Irie Army are coming out. We're going to hang out on Thursday. A lot of people are coming from all over the place. I was going to say states and things, but I don't think I need to mention any of my specific friends. Shout out to the Irie Army that is traveling. A lot of people are coming. We're going to have a good time. Let's move into the question and answer portion of this podcast. It's good to be back on a microphone, boys and girls. I do have a website. That website, I have to be careful with what I'm saying here on YouTube. The website, let's just say I have a website. And if you go to that website, you are given the opportunity to send me a question. If I read your question here on the podcast, of course, I do send you a coupon code for a free prize. Make sure you check Irie Genetics and find the Grow Help tab. That will help you get those questions to me. Now, the first question that came from the Grow Help tab today, that was hard to say, came from our friend who wants to be called Local Stoner. What up, Local Stoner? I know that guy. This question says, how do you create feminized seeds properly, and what separates high-quality fem lines from one that's prone to problems? That's a very good question, and make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free gift. Now, let's answer this. How do you create fem seeds properly? There's a couple ways to do it, but let's get to the way I like to do it is to either use silver thiosulfate, or I use a product called Elite X, or also people do use colloidal silver. I choose not to use that method. The other two are much more reliable and faster acting in my opinion and experience. So I've made full episodes on how to reverse plants and make FEMS. Now let's talk about what separates high quality FEMS from FEM lines that are prone to problems. One of the main ingredients to this is testing your parent plants. You've got to run every plant that you're going to breed with, run it a bunch of times. See if that plant is prone to problems. If that plant gives you shit, its offspring is going to give you shit as well. That's just how it's going to go. So run these plants. Let's say you've got 9 different girls that you want to pollinate, because I like to put 9 females in a 5x5, trellis them out, pollinate that. It works real well for me. We're going to go with 9. You got 9 girls. You think I might want to pollinate these. Learn those plants very well. Learn how they like to be fed. Learn what happens if you overfeed them. Learn what happens if you underfeed them. Learn what happens if you give them too much humidity, too low humidity, not enough food, or I already said that, too much temperature, not enough temperature. Then let's fuck around and find out. Let's see what happens if we interrupt the light cycle. Let's see what happens if we interrupt the dark cycle. Let's piss these plants off and see how they respond to that. Also, let's just abuse them. Let's pop them, twist them, top them, lollipop them, mess with them, see how they react. If any of these plants give me adverse reactions that aren't positive, I might not breed with it, because I don't want to put these problematic, and when we say problematic genes, we're probably talking about intersex. If anything goes intersex on me in this breeding testing, I'm probably not going to use that for my offspring or for my breeding project, because the offspring will display that intersex trait. So, and there's going to be, I have friends that are already typing. I know, you're going at it, bro. Send me the message. I want to hear it. We'll update the listeners on the podcast. But you've got to test the line. So that's the first step, is testing the lines. Then the next step is carefully doing your spray and pollinating at the proper time. Spray properly. Don't overspray. Don't underspray. That's how you're going to make good pollen. Use that pollen. Put that on your healthy female plants that have been proven and tested female. Now we're going to make seeds. The next move is to grow those seeds and test those. Sure, you might have stellar donor plants. You might have stellar pollen receiver plants, but the cross that comes out of that, you may have just opened up Pandora's box and made a whole bunch of fucking mutant fucking junk. So now the next step is to grow them yourself, or let your test team grow them. But I always grow them before I send them out to the test team. Grow a few of them myself, then spread them out to testers with the straight up notice, these are testers, and then see how they respond for people before you sell them, before you put them out to the regular market. Give them to your test team and grow them yourself. So you create them properly by taking tested plants, treating them with the proper solution, pollinating at the correct time, taking good care of those seeds with the plants in them, the pregnant plants, harvest, dry, and cure those seeds properly, then test them is how you separate a high-quality FEM line from one that's prone to problems. It's all about quality control all the way along the line. Shit is going to happen with FEM seeds. Nature is going to go crazy. We're really disrupting nature here, so nature will try to take over and do its thing. But if you're quality control testing your parent plants and quality control testing your seeds before you let them out, that's how you prevent letting problematic seeds into the grow environment, out into the cannabis community. So my dude, local stoner, I appreciate you for your question. I'm going to set this one aside so that I do remember to send you an email with a coupon code for a free prize from Irie Direct. All right, let's keep this momentum going. Now's a good time to remind you to click like and subscribe. If you like these ramblings, click like. If you want to hear more, click subscribe. It's free. It won't hurt you. This message came from Type 1 Grower. Type 1, make sure you check your inbox, dude. You've got a free pack coming your way. This one says, Rasta Jeff, I have a question about growing for flower in one tent and growing for seeds in another tent located within the same lung room. Is this something that can be carefully executed, or is it best to completely avoid attempting running flower and seeds in the same room despite being kept in different tents? I ask because I'm unaware how easily pollen may be able to escape. It will escape. But let's see, where are we? That's pretty much all we need. Wish you the best from Type 1 Grower. So this is a really good question. This has been popping up a lot lately with the people finding it necessary to learn how to make their own seeds because of the seed ban coming. I'm getting a lot of good breeding questions. I asked for a lot of breeding questions. This is one that is very popular. So this person has one room. We call it the lung room. That's where the two tents are being kept, inside that one room. This listener wants to know if they can make seeds in one tent and have Scentsy buds in the other. And the easy answer is yes, you can do this. The main key here is going to be all about timing. Think about the plants can only receive pollen when they've got pistils. So about 12 or 14 days into flower, they're able to receive pollen. All the way up to about, depending on your plants, week 7, maybe week 8 of flower, they can still receive some pollen and make some seeds. Usually it's going to be about week 6, week 7, week 8-ish in that time frame. By week 8, you're going to get withered pistils and not be able to make seeds. So you got like a 6-week period in there, which you can really prime, I know, a 4-week period, you can really prime to make some seeds. Basically, don't have pollen around your Scentsy crop during those weeks if you don't want it to get seeded. So you can very easily have tent on the right, we'll just say the tent on the right, in veg. It is vegging. And then have the tent on the right in flower and time it to where you get that one at week 3 so you can pollinate it. We want pollen, you want to pollinate about week 3, week 4. Hit it with pollen. Then let the pollen fucking soak in. Hit it again. Not soak in, but do its thing. You know what I'm saying? Pollinate. Pollinate again. I like to pollinate twice, maybe 7 days later, 5, 7, maybe 10 days later, pollinate again. Then we're going to chop down that male plant. Then we're going to spray some water, maybe shop vac around just on the top of the lights and hit it with the shop vac. But spray a little bit of water. Not enough to fucking moisten up and soak down the plants, but just mist the room. And that will make the pollen non-viable at this point. So now you've sprayed down the room, you've gotten rid of the male plant, you've cleaned up your mess, you've got plants that are fully pollinated, they're developing seeds. Now put the other room into flower. Now they're going to be staggered. These are going to finish and you're going to have seeded buds, and these are going to finish, you're going to have non-seeded buds. If you really want to do it again, time it right to where about week 8 in this room, about week 6 in this room where you don't have seeds, put the other one into flower. And then those will finish up, and then by the time these are ready for pollen, these will be gone. So you just have to think about the rhythm. Think about when I can have pollen. Wow, I said that really weird. Think about when I can have pollen, and think about when I can't have pollen in the room, and then pollinate accordingly. You're only going to have pollen if you have a male plant and you time him right, is the only time the pollen will be flying. So just don't have the other tent in flower at that time is the easy way to do it. Stagger them properly. Yeah, that's or just go ham, dude, and pollinate both tents and have a fuck ton of seeds, and then just clean up, and then you won't have to make seeds ever again. That's also an option. But staggering them is the way to do it. When the one room is almost ready to harvest, put that other room into flower, pollinate it. You can set that other room behind it if you want to like perpetually go. You could put that other room into flower probably like the day you shake that pollen, put that fucker into flower, or even a week before. If you know I'm going to pollinate in a week, put that bitch into flower a week, and then pollinate, and then cut it down, and then you still got a full week to go before you're going to have any stress. You could clean up the pollen, spray water a couple times. I'm pretty sure you understand what I'm saying. The rhythm is the key right now. The rhythm is going to get you, and that's really what you need, is figure out the rhythm. So let me make sure I answer this. Can we do it in the same lung room, right? Yeah, you can. Is it best to completely avoid? No, you can do it. You can totally do this. I've done it. I do it. The pollen will escape, but it's all about the timing. It's all about the timing. So my dude, type one, make sure you check your inbox because that is a good question. You're going to get a pack of free seeds from that one. I have to be careful what I say because YouTube has been taking down my videos, approximately 2 videos per day at this rate. So who knows how long we have left before we are at 0 videos. Somebody do that math for me. That's why I'm kind of vague about some of the things I say when it comes to websites and things. I don't say stuff. I have to be careful. You know what's happening. This next message came from Gunfight Knife. Well, that's how you lose. You got to bring, if you brought a knife to a gunfight, Gunfight Knife. All right. Anyway. This question said, I dig your show and I respect your thirst to grow. Time to gear up for this year's season. Please help me debunk some bro science. I already know where this is going, bro. It says, I saw a YouTube video where a fella shows how he sexes his seeds by the shape of the hole. And I read in the Grower's Bible that stated more females will result when seeds or seedlings are sprouted and maintained in hotter conditions. My question is, if a seed sex is predetermined at the time of pollination, can the sex be influenced by growing conditions, barring lighting manipulations? There's going to be a lot of controversial replies and comments on this one because there's a couple of different views. My theory is, since I am making, so the part about knowing, let's go in order here. The part about being able to tell the male from female seed by the shape of the seed, bullshit. I do not believe in that at all. Zero confidence in that theory. Zero. So I'm going to move on from that one. That's my full answer on that one. Now, the part about, let's see, I saw YouTube where he shows sex of seeds, read a Gerber's Bible, more females will result. And then you asked if a seed is predetermined by the time of pollination. See, I believe that they are predetermined by pollination because I make feminized seeds. And what is determining that that seed is feminized is the pollen. I'm not treating the female plant. I'm treating the pollen donor plant is what I'm manipulating. And that manipulation is creating pollen that only contains female chromosomes. So there's no male in there. So since there's no male, I don't even have the chance of getting male plants, which makes me think that when that male plant is passing that XY chromosome, that's what's giving it the opportunity to choose male or female. And it does that based on the pollen. That's my theory. That's what backs it up to me, is the fact that I'm able to manipulate it to create only female pollen by using female plants. Otherwise, wouldn't the female pollen also make male plants if that wasn't the way it worked? If it wasn't decided by the pollen, if it was another way, the mechanism that we're using wouldn't work. That's my theory. But also the theory of when seeds are sprouted and maintained in hotter conditions, maybe regular seeds can be influenced by that, because there is what I call the Jurassic Park theory. Also, shout out to James Bean. He uses this analogy as well. These plants want to survive. There is a strong will to survive in these plants, and nature will find a way. So that is possible also. But to go in order, I think the shape part is bullshit. The part where the seedlings are sprouted and maintained in hotter conditions will result in more females. If somebody has done that experiment and saw it, I can't argue with that. I can't debunk that. I would have to believe that. The question is, if a seed sex is predetermined at the time of pollination, can sex be influenced by growing conditions? Well, I would say it's got to be, because that's also a lot of what contributes to intersex plants is growing conditions. And that's a sex related reaction. So I don't have the science behind it, but I think that yes, it is predetermined by pollen, but I'm pretty sure that these plants are so evolved and so voracious. I don't know even the word I'm looking for, vigorous. They want to live. That yes, I'm sure that there is a mechanism in them that will allow them to switch themselves. I already know the guy that's going to comment on this. Go for it, bro. Comment, send me the email. I'm curious. I know a person that's going to have a serious update on this. They're going to have a lot to say. Do it in the comment section if you want, bro. I'm curious. Let us know. Now's your chance to shine, dude. Now's your time. He knows who I'm talking to, ladies and gentlemen. I have a stalker out there. Yeah, I called you a stalker. He likes to send me a lot of information. Now's your time, dude. All right. Yeah, I'm talking directly to the stalker. That could be fucking dangerous. All right, I've got one more good question here in front of me. I have a lot more good questions. This one actually might have came from, did I pick a question from the same dude twice? I did. Bro, you're going to get two questions read on the show. I don't know how you did this, but you're only going to get one prize. So that helps me out. Bonus. But here we are. This one also came from the local stoner. I was going to say I have a lot of emails here in front of me. This is the one I happen to choose. If I did not read your question here on the podcast, please do not be discouraged. Keep the good questions coming. I will keep sending out prizes. I've got a big stack of emails in front of me that I need to read through and get them on the show. Don't be discouraged. Maybe yours is an excellent question. It will be on the next episode. This one says, I just want to start. Okay, we've already read your, you already gave me some praise in the first one. Love the show. Helping people doesn't go unnoticed. Thank you. I have a breeding question I'd love to hear you cover. Here we are. At what point does a small home breeding project need to scale up in plant count to start producing truly reliable and consistent results. I think this is something a lot of smaller growers and beginner breeders struggle with, especially trying to balance space, plant count limits, and still doing things properly. I appreciate everything you're doing and looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Much love and respect once again from the local stoner. So I have a lot of thoughts on this one. One of the first things I think of is we have a bad habit in the cannabis community of blending our home grow hobby project with a delusion of this is a business. And I understand the pride, I understand the drive, but a lot of people think that they have this idea that they are doing something on a business level, on a scale that must be accomplished on a larger level, and it's not going anywhere. I'm not trying to be, it's your breeding project in your basement. Do that for you. Stop thinking globally. Stop thinking anywhere outside your basement, unless you really intend on selling these seeds, which right now is the worst time to get into that fucking game. But I understand the passion, the drive, the desire to make these seeds the best they can be. But if you're a basement breeder, focus in and be a basement breeder. Like, I'm not trying to squish anyone's dreams. I'm trying to give you realistic dreams. A lot of people, and this is the worst industry for these kind of habits, for this visions of grandeur, in my opinion. And I see it when people order seeds from me. People just put the name of their fucking made up fucking weed company on the shipping label just to make it sound like they have a company. People put their Instagram shit out there and act like they're a real business now. And I'm not bashing you, but if you need to scale up, you know it. You've got a clientele. You're on top of the game. You understand how to make it happen. You're probably ahead of this question if you're in the game at that point right now doing this. I really sound like I'm bashing people. I feel like I'm chopping people down, but I'm trying to make it realistic. A lot of people, I've said it before, this industry is the worst at this. You have a grow and you sold some weed to people, and now you're like, I'm fucking ganja farmer, OGLLC.com or some shit. And I see how it happens. You made a couple bucks and you're producing a project. It is a product. It is a business, but keep it realistic on what it is, because you don't want to be a business unless you really are a business. Do you want to have to pay taxes unless you're really doing shit on a tax level? Do you want to have to get licensing? Do you want to have to do all that stuff? And now I'm not trying to crush the visions here. I keep saying that, but keep it real. Keep it realistic. How big do you fucking need to scale up if you're a guy in the basement breeding seeds for yourself for your project? How big do you really need? Like, keep it simple, stoner. Lock in. Like, what are you doing it for? Are you trying to sell seeds to a bunch of people? Is that real? Or is that just a thing that you kind of, is it a delusion or is it a reality? It's time to check on that. Because in this industry, I see a lot of the delusion, to be honest with you. And you know who you are. But now, when should we scale up? Don't break the law has got to be my first disclaimer when it is legal to do so. But you should be able to grow and breed with a semi-decent plant count. Like 12 plants will get you where you need to be. Run a breeding project. One mom, one. So you got a mom and a dad, right? A male and a female. Cross them. Now you've got a male and a female plant. And if you got a 12, here in Colorado, we can grow 12 plants, 6 medically, 6 recreationally. So you got your mom and your dad, cross them, you get 10 seeds, grow those 10 seeds, sprout 15 of them and see the 10 that grow the best. Cull the rest, you got 10 of them, grow 10 seeds. You got your 12 plant count still. Find your best one or two out of those 10 and re-veg those. Now we don't even have to add to the plant count, just re-veg those. Now you still got those two, plus you got your original two. You got your parents and you got your F1s. Maybe find a boy and a girl, your favorite boy and girl from those F1s. You can find it in a 10 pack. You can find it. If you want to grow more, repeat the process. Keep your favorite boy and girl from that first batch. Sprout 8 more seeds. Fucking run those 8. Find your next favorite boy and girl. Now you got 4 awesome plants that you're playing with. And then just do it like a bracket system. Every time you find something better, cull the shittiest one and keep the best 12 plants. It doesn't have to be that big to be a successful breeding project. I think people get these ideas that they have to go big to do all of it. Keep it simple. Keep it smaller. It's more intimate. It's more private. It's more fun. You get more details. You get more data. Intimate was the key word, I think. You're closer with those plants. If you've got 100 plants, how close of attention can you pay to each one? You can see things, but you're not going to get in there and touch each one and know the minutiae of every plant. So just do your 12 plants and love those and take the best care of those as you can and run it like a tiered bracket system. So it says, what point does a small home breeding need to scale up in plant count to start producing truly reliable and consistent results? You don't. Unless you are selling seeds and putting seeds on the market and running production, you don't, I don't think. Like, enjoy the hobby, enjoy the craft. Don't make it stressful. Don't blow up the whole house. Don't blow up the light bill. Don't take up all the space. Don't take up all your time. Keep it fun. Make a batch of seeds. Run those seeds for the next 6 months and see what you've got. Find a couple of keepers out of those. And then if you want to make more seeds, pick one of those and reverse it. But just go slow. Go real slow and don't make it too big. Once it gets too big, it gets out of hand. And keep your mind in it as it's a project for you. Like, you don't need a bunch. You know what you're looking for. You can find it in 10 or 12 plants, especially if you ran, if you're looking for the outliers and shit. Yeah, it's fun to have more plant count, but maybe have a buddy run a few seeds. Maybe, like, I've got a friend that runs shit in his house for me, and that's where we found the cream. The cream cut that I have came from a friend's house who just runs seeds for fun for me to see what we did. So maybe have a buddy do it. But I know I'm kind of, it sounds like I'm shitting on dreams, but unless you're making seeds for production and you've got to deal with the vendor or your own website and they're going out rapidly, you can make plenty of seeds in a couple of small tents. So you don't really need to upscale anything. If you really want to do it, run a bunch of smaller plants, 1 gallon pots, 4 inch net pots, just do a bunch of small stuff in 5x5 tents. But a lot of us are limited to plant count. If you're not limited to plant count, you could fit fucking 100 plants in a 5x5 tent. So just do small plants in there. Don't worry about taking clones. If you get an outlier, if you get an anomaly, a winner, a keeper, just re-veg that bad bitch. It's not that hard at all to re-veg something. So I know it sounds like I'm shitting on dreams here, but I'm really trying to keep you more realistic. Unless you're making money on this and you've got a lawyer and an accountant, a CPA, fucking some licensing, and you have a business license and you're paying taxes, don't even try to fucking scale up and get big and fuck it all up for yourself. Stay small, have fun, be a hobby farmer, keep the passion into it, and keep it tight. Think about your social circle. There, if you know 100 people, how well do you know those 100 people? If you spend your time with 5 people, you know the shit out of those 5 people. So maybe focus on 5 or 12 plants and know the shit out of those, breed with those, keep it tight. Maybe that's my advice. He wraps it up with, I appreciate everything you're doing and I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it. I hope I didn't just shit on your dreams. My job here is to be realistic, be honest with you and tell you what I really think will help you to be successful. And I think right now to be successful, the idea is to focus in on a few plants and love those instead of having a whole bunch of plants and just kind of getting it right with those. This crop you're growing is not your last crop, and the next crop will not be your last crop. Think about, like, make this a thing that you're going to spend time on. Don't rush into this. We've got forever. We've got the rest of our lives to do this. So make this a forever project. Don't be in a rush to breed anything because, take your time. It's something that you're going to put love into. And also, you'll find shit in a 10, 12 pack of seeds. You'll find some shit worth breeding too. All right. My dude, Local, thanks for getting me rambling on that one. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to another episode. It's fun to be back on the microphone. The next one won't be so rambly. I will be more organized, or maybe I fucking won't. You never know what I will do. I'm going to wrap up this podcast quickly. Make sure you leave comments. Send me an email, growfromyourheart@hotmail.com, and also check out Patreon at patreon.com/growfromyourheart. That's all I've got for you. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to send a giant shout out to my new friend, Godiva Grows. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mama a hug for me. Roots and wisdom start to show from the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibras that Jeff in our conscious tribe. He spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing like the cannabis, grow from your heart, cure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way.
like a dove. Educate and elevate, join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth, in the soil lies the proof. Rasta Chef will guide you through, in this garden find the new. Rise up higher, find your way, grow from your hearts every day. In the light we stand real strong, join the movement, sing the song. Ooh, 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 ooh. Open minds to see the truth, in the soil lies the proof. Rasta Chef will guide you through, in this garden find the new. Rise up higher, find your way, grow from your hearts every day.